Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest today is Dr. Paul Maurer. He is the president of Montreat College and one of the most beautiful places on earth. But I must say, it's not just in Montreat anymore. Montreat College has a number of campuses and is even helping folks online. Now, Paul, you came to Montreat College what year?
Came in July of 2014.
And when you came, the college had just been through one of the most difficult periods in her history. I am a former board member and can take zero credit other than my prayers for what God has been doing at Montreat lately. But let me tell you, having grown up in Montreat, having seen the college go through some dark times in the early 70s, now seeing what the Lord is doing at Montreat is absolutely thrilling. And a big part of the joy is the fact that the Lord brought Dr. Paul Maurer to lead Montreat at this time. Dr. Maurer, welcome to the broadcast.
Jim, thank you so much. Great to be with you.
Tell us about sort of what you found when you came to Montreat, which included not only the difficulty, but the fact that God was already showing some miraculous signs of hope.
Yeah, it's really been an amazing story. When I arrived in 2014, the college had gone through as you alluded to, a very difficult, a very dark period. The college, my predecessor as president, had resigned in January 2013, and the college immediately went into merger conversations with another institution. The college spent a year in those conversations, and that ended up in a failed merger happening. Mm-hmm. And so the college was really left in January, February 2014 with two kind of bad options. One was to continue on in a very, very difficult, struggling way, and frankly, close to closing its door. The other option was that God needed to show up in a big way,
yeah.
And the latter happened. And it happened through an anonymous couple who had never stepped foot on Montreat College's campus. They had never talked to a student or a trustee, but they knew one of our adjunct faculty members who was a local pastor. They had attended his church for a few months off and on when they were visiting in North Carolina about a year and a half earlier.
Right.
And they contacted him and they started helping his church. And he reached out in February 2014 and said, we don't have a lot of needs at our church, but Montreat College has a lot of needs. Would you consider helping? And they, over a six-week period, via email only, never a phone call, never a visit, made a pledge of $6 million to the college to help restart Montreat College.
Praise God. And that is a miracle. If anybody who doesn't know that that's a miracle just doesn't know what's going on in this world. Only God could do that.
I think it's a miracle. I think the biblical definition of a miracle is something only God can do.
Amen.
And I think that fits that description.
Absolutely. And with that, they have not only chosen to remain anonymous at this point, but they have done more than what they promised.
Yeah, between March 1 of 2014 and today, they've given over $10 million in totally unrestricted cash and just have basically said to us, here, restart the college. And their primary motivation was that one of their primary motivations is that we're the last truly Christ-centered college in the state of North Carolina
mm-hmm.
that hires only professing believers as faculty and staff as a condition of employment. And as incredible as that may sound, it is true that we're the last fully Christ-centered institution in the state.
Well, let's talk about that, because that's one of the reasons I'm so thrilled God brought you there to lead Montreat. When you came on board, you understood that it wasn't just financial footing that needed to be solid, but that it was a spiritual grounding that needed to be reaffirmed and be very clear. And so you strengthened the statement of faith and made that something that basically everybody needs to be all in with this statement of faith.
Yeah, that's right. We identified it as the question of identity.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean to be a Christ-centered institution in the 21st century, and what does it mean for this institution in this place at this time? And it was clear to me that our Christ-centered identity was ambiguous,
mm-hmm.
both internally and externally.
Yes.
And that we needed to drive to clarity in terms of our identity. And so we did a very deliberative process over 2.5 years, Jim. We were slow and deliberative. We were very transparent. And in the end, we did rewrite the statement of faith. We put the infallibility of Scripture back into the statement of faith that had mm-hmm. been removed from the statement of faith some years earlier. And we created a community life covenant that reaffirmed marriage between one man and one woman, reaffirmed that our long-held belief that life begins at conception.
Mm-hmm.
And we now ask all employees to affirm and support both of those documents as a condition of employment.
Praise God. And God has clearly honored that. You have a bunch of new faculty as the school is growing.
We do. We've added science faculty, cybersecurity faculty, education faculty, business faculty. Our programs are growing, and we're hiring people to take us to the next level.
And with that, students have responded. Talk with us about enrollment.
Well, we have two sides of the house. We have the traditional undergrad college, and we have adult and graduate studies. And where we have really experienced our greatest success to date is on the undergraduate traditional side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
When we surpassed the 500 student number this fall for the first time in the college's 102 years. We have 520 students that this fall on the traditional side. We're at 367 back when I arrived.
Yeah.
And so we're pleased by the growth. We still have a long, long way to go, but we're pleased by the trajectory, and the market really seems to be responding to this clarified, focused identity as a theologically evangelical institution.
Praise God. I'm so thankful because, you know, it's been a struggle all across the country, not just in recent decades, but throughout history, for schools to maintain an evangelical identity. Harvard University was founded in order to have a place to prepare ministers of the gospel. That was the purpose of Harvard University. It so quickly, as you know, fell by the wayside. The Unitarian heresy came in, and Harvard just fell apart spiritually. Some folks were really grieved by this and decided they needed to start a school that would be true to the faith, and so they started Yale a little further south. Obviously, Yale did not stick with the faith, even though there have been some great Christians down through the ages, and there still are some wonderful Christians at Harvard and Yale. It's just not the position of the school anymore. But then some folks, just seeing what had happened to Harvard and to Yale, felt we've got to do it right this time. We've got to be more careful, and they started Princeton. And so, you know, if you look at the history, it doesn't bode well for Christian schools sticking with the faith. But in order to keep things on course, there's got to be leadership like yours where folks understand this is our core, this is our identity. If we lose this, we lose everything. Even if we have a ton of money and a ton of students, if we don't have a solid faith at the core, then it's all for naught. And Paul, I want to thank you for the fact that you have been clear about that, you have been uncompromising about that, and you've provided excellent leadership in taking the school in the direction of true evangelical orthodoxy. It's not a political thing, it's a biblical thing, and I'm so grateful for your leadership.
Yeah, and I want to thank you, Jim. I want to quickly add that we are apolitical. So
yeah,
the language of evangelicalism has become politicized language, and the meaning has become very fuzzy in the American lexicon.
Yes.
And we don't mean political evangelicalism. We do mean theological. And what we've discovered is, with not many Christ-centered colleges in this part of the country, which is also kind of a very interesting data point,
mm-hmm.
that there are thousands and thousands of families that want somewhere between values-based and Christ-centered education for their sons and daughters,
mm-hmm.
recognizing that state U and secular U do not offer a character-shaping, ethic-building kind of education, but only a increasingly difficult environment for their sons and daughters to come out with their faith intact.
Amen. Some reports saying that 80% of church-going youth stop going to church when they go to college. But now when you talk about the biblical and values-shaped education, you're a liberal arts school, but your fastest-growing major right now is cybersecurity. Talk with us about how those values, those biblical values, impact the cybersecurity field where you folks are leaders now nationally.
What sets us apart is that we're a faith-based institution in cybersecurity. And the reason that's true is because in cybersecurity, if I am a cybersecurity professional at Bank of America, and you have your bank account at Bank of America, you have to trust me because I've got your data.
Yes.
I've got some of the most sensitive, important data of your life at my fingertips. And if I'm not a person of character, if you can't trust me, then you've got problems.
Exactly.
And people understand that in the marketplace. They understand it in government. They understand it in industry. And so we started this program 4 years ago. It is our fastest growing major. It is not yet our largest major, but I think it will be in a short number of years. And we have gone to Washington, and we have gone to Charlotte, and we have gone to the marketplace of Fortune 500 companies, and we have tested a value proposition, and we've come up with a hypothesis. And it goes like this, that the cybersecurity problem in America is not principally a technical problem.
Mm-hmm.
It is principally a human problem.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the solution to cybersecurity is not principally technical. It is principally a people solution.
Amen.
If you don't have the right people of character and ethics as your cyber leaders and as your cyber operators, your technology doesn't matter very much.
Amen. Amen. A really skilled scoundrel is not a comfort.
Right.
So,
that's right.
Thank you for doing what you're doing. I will say this as well. I work with something. Our first volunteer here at Wares Valley Ranch had the highest security clearance at Oak Ridge National Labs that you can get. And when he and his wife wanted to volunteer to watch kids for us on vacations and so forth, and he was our first volunteer. We put him through a process of vetting in order to be sure that he jumped through every hoop and passed all the tests. And when he was done with it, he said, "Jim, it was easier to get the top security clearance at Oak Ridge than to get permission to watch the kids for you." And he said, "But that is as it should be, because the children that you're looking after are even more precious than nuclear secrets." And I would say today, regarding this ministry, that we have joyfully hired folks from Montreat College, graduates of Montreat College, to come and be a part of this staff. And it has been a pleasure to see their love for Jesus and their love for the kids and their integrity and their work ethic and their biblical worldview. So I not only hope that parents who are listening will say, "Wow, that sounds like a school I should look at for my kids." I also hope that employers will listen and say, "I need to see if there are some folks coming out of the college who I can bring to work for me, because I'm looking for folks who have good character and who have a biblical worldview."
Well, not only that, Jim, but with our adult and graduate studies programs, we have for employers programs for their employees to complete their undergraduate education and to get their graduate education. We have master's programs. We have an MBA. We have a master's in management and leadership. We have a master's in clinical mental health counseling. We have a broad array of programs for students, for adults, to advance or complete their education.
That's tremendous. And I had the opportunity to meet with some of the folks from the graduate school a few years back, and the gratitude that they showed for the program that Montreat provides was really encouraging. You didn't just value the fact that they were one more person in your program. You really cared about them, about their situation, about their needs, and how to help them be the best that they can be in their field.
Yeah, and I would just add for your listeners that with some of our programs, both on the traditional and on the adult and graduate studies side, we're taking a hard look at our programs and saying, are they relevant? Are they up to date? Are they fresh? With our MBA program, we took a hard look at our MBA program and said, no, it's actually not fresh. It's not as relevant to the marketplace as it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And so we decided to blow it up. We are rebuilding our entire MBA program and relaunching it for the fall of 18, knowing that if we don't stay relevant to what the market is looking for in terms of content, and of course we infuse it with the character and the ethics, the soft skills, we think that combination is one that frankly every employer wants for their employees.
Amen. That's great. That's excellent. Now, Paul, as you've dealt with the students there on campus, because you deal with, you know, everything from the donors to the faculty to the students, as you deal with the students, what do you see as far as the spiritual level of folks who are coming in to school there? What are they looking for spiritually?
Well, we're an open enrollment institution, which means that we do not require students to profess Christian faith as a condition of enrollment. We required a faculty and staff as a condition of employment, but not of students coming in the door. So we have a great breadth of students. We have a lot of students that come from strong Christian homes, and we have students that come from broken Christian homes, and we have students that come from agnostic and atheistic homes. We have our star volleyball player, who was conference player of the year, comes from a Muslim background, and yet she chose to come study at Montreat and has had a great experience because we're an inviting, loving community. We're clear about our biblical worldview inside the classroom, on the athletic field, and in the residence hall, but we've created an environment here through our staff and faculty, frankly, who really love our students. And so the breadth of what they're looking for spiritually is really quite broad, but I'm happy to say that a very large percentage of our students leave here having advanced substantially on their journey as Christ followers or as Christ following seekers.
Mm. When I was there a few months back, I had the opportunity to sit in chapel and was really blessed and encouraged by the leadership in worship that the students provided. It was student-led worship, and they did a great job of really focusing on Jesus. It was not a performance where they were trying to show off their musical skills. It was using their skills in order to focus on the greatness of God, and that was a delight to see.
I really love our students, Jim. We've got a great, great group of students here, but they're 18 to 22, and they're figuring out an awful lot about who they are. They're figuring out life. They're figuring out their trajectory. They're figuring out their call. But what they hear from us, from me, from faculty, from staff, from coaches, what they hear from us all the time is, you have a God-given destiny, and our job in these 4 years is to come alongside you and to help you understand what that looks like for you intellectually, what it looks like spiritually, and what it looks like from a calling and career standpoint. All three of those are actually in our mission statement as the promise that we make to students and parents that we are going to come alongside students with them to help figure out these big questions of life.
That's marvelous. Talk with us a little bit about some of the improvements that have been made with the facilities there, because I know the campus was getting a little long in the tooth, and that's turned around.
Yeah, there's some, when you've got a school that's kind of going through hard times, some maintenance issues get deferred. So in the last 3.5 years, we've been able to do 20 physical upgrade or new construction projects. We've built a new athletic complex, about $3 million project. Mm-hmm. It's a state-of-the-art track and field complex. It's down on our Black Mountain campus, about 10 minutes from the main campus. And it's really, it became instantly the best athletic complex in our entire athletic conference, the Appalachian Athletic Conference, and really probably one of the two best athletic facilities in the entire Western North Carolina. So we rent it out now. People want to use it for all sorts of soccer and lacrosse and track and field and cross-country events. We put a black box theater in. We did a complete renovation of our dining facility. We have a brand new fitness center on campus. We've built a cybersecurity operations center teaching lab for our cyber students, which mirrors what they would go into at Bank of America or the NSA. So we've done 20 of these projects, all paid for by gift income, generous donors who are helping us give rebirth to a great institution.
Well, it's been a joy for my church, where I pastor, to be a part of that as far as supporting. I wish we could do a whole lot more, but it is really nice to feel like that the places that God's led us to invest, we're seeing a wonderful return on that investment. God is doing wonderful things that he is the only one that ultimately can receive the glory, because it's evident that this is his work and that he's pleased with what's happening at Montreat. Paul, what would you ask us to pray for you and for the college going forward?
I would just pray that we don't mess this up, Jim. God's doing a great work here, and it is a miracle. We're living in the middle of a miracle. You know, I didn't ask to come here. God really called me here. It was a pretty deep and profound and surprising sense of call. I did not seek it out. Many of our team have kind of been dropped here as manna. They didn't expect to be here, but so there's a real sense of destiny and purpose here in the middle of what God's doing. And so I don't know how long miracles last, Jim. I mean, I'm kind of just living this out one day at a time, but I know that God wants Montreat College to exist, and I believe he wants it to flourish.
Amen.
Montreat College should not be open today. It should have closed 4 years ago by any rational, reasonable measure, but it didn't, because God said, no, I'm not done with you. And so where I covet prayers the greatest is that we would continue to be faithful to his call here as a team, as a board, educating our students in a way that brings honor and glory to Christ.
Amen. Praise God. Well, I believe the Lord is answering those prayers, and he will continue to do so. I know that one of the encouraging things for me, because we're very concerned about character development here at Ware's Valley Ranch. And back in October of 2017, Montreat College was named a gold level Champions of Character 5-star institution for 2016-2017 by the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics. That is the first time that the college has achieved gold level status, ranking among the top 66 NAIA schools in the country. And that's what it's about. It's not just about wins and losses, where Montreat again has seen great improvement, but something even more wonderful, Christ honoring, is the fact that the character being developed in the students is on display for the glory of God. Paul, thank you so much. Dr. Paul Maurer, president of Montreat College, thank you for coming and being on the broadcast today.
Great to be with you, Jim. Appreciate your friendship and your support and all that you do at Ware's Valley and all you do for the kingdom. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.